eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
That's right, everybody. Billy G's Carolina Barbecue sponsors the national anthem at noon every day, as we all know here on ITG, Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Check out Billy G's and his barbecue truck, I think is what it is, out there down the right field line. It was not there on opening day when I was, but I've heard nothing but good things ever since, and lots of folks that we have talked to and listened to the show have gone out there and seen Bill and gotten some barbecue from him at the games. And you get one last opportunity this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, remember, though, not Friday, Saturday, Sunday, for the final homestand of the regular season against Georgia. And hopefully the only balls that get hit over there are fouled ones off of Condon's bat and not ones that go straight enough to fly out of the park. But welcoming in now for Power Hour, we are wearing out the golden tones this week. Mike Morgan is back for the next couple hours of the show, and we'll even have a drive around the SEC for a second installment of that in the next hour. But welcome in, Mike.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Well, you know, yeah, I just drugged
running
the fan
marathon today.
Horrible times, like I normally do by going down memory lane.
Did you go negative Nelly in the opening A block?
Running backs that rush for crazy amounts of yards against South Carolina in the '90s.
Yeah, it's Little National Williams, Mental Kentucky. Health Awareness Month, so we're considering it therapy, Mike.
Mo is the headliner, but
yeah,
the
pride of Columbus, Georgia, Mo Williams.
Stephen Harley from Kentucky or from East Carolina ran for 291 in 96 here against in the rain in a big win for the Pirates. How we got on it was we started about East Carolina baseball. And, you know, so
okay.
the transition to East Carolina football and Harley and, boy, there were, I remember Kentucky in 93 on a Thursday night game. They had to use their backup quarterback, a guy named Antonio Farrell, who I think I'm convinced the guy was a defensive back. Bill Curry comes in and runs the option and beats Tannehill and the Gamecocks while they were kind of still alive that season, too, because Carolina had beaten Georgia at Georgia to open. Beat them 21-17. So this whole Kentucky football thing has roots beyond the Stoops era. But, those were some tough ones when you just couldn't get the guys on the ground. And, you know, you heard things from Shane Burnham, like, we didn't tackle very well. Couldn't tackle very well. Oh, yeah, sure. He did. No doubt. So,
Willie and Shane Burnham. So, one of my first talk show hosts in Columbia was a guy named Teddy Hefner, who I still talk to from time to time. And Teddy was, there's that fine line sometimes where you cover somebody enough that a relationship starts. I've always thought, too, like it's a lot easier for guys to rip coaches on talk shows and internet and everything else if you never have to cover them, if you never have to show up and show your face at a press conference or at a game. You know, that there's a little bit of that. But there's, and the flip side of that is, sometimes you become a little too close that you can't see it through an objective scope, and all the fans are like, "What are you looking at, dude?" And clearly, you become so. Long story short, Teddy was he was buddies with Wally Burnham, and I was like, "Teddy, he's terrible," if you want Brad Scott to stay the head coach, you've got to get rid of Wally Burnham. And so, I mean, Reed Morton, another guy I worked with, used to say Shane was like the slowest guy in the team, and playing middle linebacker in the SEC, that's a problem. But Wally's a good man. I later crossed paths with Wally when he was the DC at Iowa State. But at that time, you know, Wally just, he didn't have the athletes. And Carolina, truth be told, in a lot of ways wasn't ready to just be thrust into that league and just be a major factor. I realize, like today on JC and Morgan, we're talking about the 92 team and the great resurgence under Tannehill. We need to get him on the show, by the way. But Wally was just, it was just out of his element. And Charlie Strong, of course, did a great job under Lou. I mean, that's really what put Charlie on the map and change his trajectory into eventually he got the head coaching job at Texas. And of course that didn't work out well at all. And now where is Charlie now? He's bounced around so much.
Last time he was an analyst at Alabama. Then he went with Urban Meyer to the Jaguars.
He did.
And then last year he was co-coordinator at Miami, or maybe it was Cristobal's first year. He was at Miami. Yeah.
Did go to Miami. I remember that. But is he still there?
I don't think he's there anymore.
I mean, gosh. Mm. You talk about, like, stock going up and down. Charlie's stock was so high at one point. And then it just, you know, I don't know if he ever really recovered from the Texas situation. Just like Tom Herman.
He still listed as an Alabama analyst as of present. I don't know. I'm gonna have to dig that a little deeper on that.
That is the redemption tour. When you go, it was under Nick Saban. When you went under Nick Saban as an analyst, Locksley goes from like a guy that had a 22% winning percentage as a head coach at New Mexico, and then boom, he's at Maryland.
Where he's got a 30% winning percentage. Yeah. No. I mean, they barely goes to bowl. They've kind of
fine.
Slid nicely into that fourth spot in the East. You know, they're better than Indiana. They've been last few years better than Indiana, better than
they're another program. They'll be in the Big Ten for 20 years from now, and I'll still think of Maryland in the ACC because that's where they belong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Where
they belong. But they look, they got the paycheck, they got the bag, and they went to the Big Ten, and they will always be, you know, at best middle tier in that league, which is fine. That's, you know, middle tier is not the worst thing in the world. When you think about it, that's where most teams are in the SEC. Big Ten, that's just the middle tier. You got the heavyweights at the top, and everybody else just trying to kind of do what they can where they are in their lane. That's the deal.
Charlie Strong really missed, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was a big deal. He went 23-3 at Louisville, in Louisville, took him to the Sugar Bowl where they beat Florida in 2012 and 13. And then he took Texas, and yeah, Texas culture had a lot to do with his struggles there, but you can't have three straight losing seasons and keep your job at Texas.
No.
And they wanted Herman. Herman was ready to come then. Then the poor guy goes, and he's at South Florida and inherits I'd like to give Willie Taggart credit for it. And I think I probably should, because that was probably Taggart's best recruiting job. Taggart left, though, to take Oregon, so he gets the job. He goes 10-2, right? And then 7-6 the next year. And then he bottoms out at 4-8. And South Florida's kind of like Florida. They're not very patient with coaches. And so they punted him. Hadn't heard much from him since. It was he resurfaced with the Jaguars in 2021 and then went to Miami as co-coordinator in 2022 and then on to Alabama as an analyst. Apparently he was passed over by Mario Cristobal for the actual coordinator position. And so he ended up going to Bama. No idea where he's at now. I think Charlie Strong, when you look at the record without Teddy Bridgewater or, you know, that 17 South Florida team was a 10-win team because of offense. I mean, they went up and down the field and everybody. When you look at it like that, you know, you're hesitant because there's not a lot of terrible seasons. There's a lot of 7-6 with a bowl, 6-7, 7-6, 7-5, scattered in there. But there's really no, you know, no big winning when you don't have Teddy Bridgewater or that 1 year with the offense. So,
well, for that matter, yeah. I mean, you can't talk about Charlie's success at Carolina without referencing, for all of Brad's flaws, he did set the table with some pretty damn good defensive players, from Sheldon Brown to Andre Goodman to Kalimba Edwards to John Abraham. I mean, that's just for starters. You know, like, Charlie walked into a good situation with defensive talent through recruiting. That's one thing Brad did do well toward the end of his tenure in Columbia.
Yeah, Brad Scott could recruit. He left a lot of Clemson folks at the time talked about how he was the whole reason that Carolina won any games, and that wasn't the case at all. It was just like Will Muschamp left Shane Beamer a lot of good players. Okay, you know, if you want to look at the situations, the coaches took over. Lou and Shane took over a much better situation than Spurrier and Muschamp did. Even though people will go, well, Lou went 0-11 his first year. Yeah, but Lou also had catastrophic injuries, including quarterback, where they had no chance once Petty went out to move the ball.
Six starting quarterbacks.
Offensive line was a terrible mess. And on top of that, you know, the idea was for Skip to run his offense. And Lou said, no. We're going to run offense from 1993 Notre Dame into a spread option football and run it downhill. And Carolina just wasn't equipped to do that. You're coming off a Brad Scott tenure where it was fast break. The next year, Skip runs his system, and we see the difference. They're healthy. Yeah. They have a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of those were Brad Scott recruits. But Lou also got Andrew Pinnock and Derek Watson. And, you know, he brought in Dante Robinson, Coach Simpson. I mean, Lou had a lot to do with it. In addition to him, the thing that was great about Lou, and you mentioned this about getting back to Charlie Strong, you know, Charlie was a first-time coordinator at South Carolina. He had worked for Holtz, he worked for Spurrier at Florida, but Lou surrounded him with guys.
Right.
Like Chris Koch was a D coordinator for Nick Saban at Michigan State in 98 before he came. John Gutkunst was a head coach at Minnesota and a coordinator. Well, there's your secondary coach. Charlie coached the D-line. Dave Roberts, more of a recruiter and kind of figurehead kind of guy. But Dave Roberts had been a head coach, had been at Notre Dame with Lou. I mean, those guys, they had guys. you know, on that staff to kind of help him along, and to where he didn't feel a whole lot of pressure. So
I look back at that era, JC, and I had a front row seat for it, covered those teams. And I just think back to, and I've probably told this story before, but I still get a kick out of it, you know, hosting the post game show. And when things started to go south in 2022, coming off two Outback Bowl wins, upset wins in the SEC over Georgia, beat Georgia back to back, win at Clemson, should have been two, Rod Gardner push off. You know, I mean, it was rocking and rolling. And then Lou, it's as if he got hit in the head and woke up out of a just kind of a hazy cloud and said, oh, 1988, let's run the Tony Rice offense. Now, Skip technically was still the OC, but Dad was the head coach, and Dad said, we're not running the spread anymore. And they didn't. And he thought that Dondrell Pinkins, who couldn't throw a spiral, and Corey Jenkins, great athlete, but kind of an unfair situation for him to be put in coming off the heels of baseball, that they were going to just do, again, 1988 Notre Dame things without a Notre Dame roster. And it didn't work at all. And you set all that momentum backward. And I just remember people back then, the spread was still relatively a new phenomenon. Now it's like you see it every Saturday in every game. And people were calling and they were ripping Skip and saying, it's that damn spread offense. And I was like, do you people know that's not the spread offense? Do you know what a spread offense looks like? Like, they're not running the spread. They're losing games, not running the spread. And then kind of one of the saddest things, and I actually talked to Skip about it off the record years later when I saw him coaching Louisiana Tech, is when Lou basically threw his son under the bus in a press conference and basically implied that, you know, the reason that the offense wasn't working anymore is because of Skip. And that paved the way for Skip to be ousted. The reason why the offense wasn't working anymore was because of Lou. Lou should have just stayed out of that. Lou was great at a number of things, but running offense was not one of them. And he changed the whole dynamics of what they were doing and how they were doing it, and it sucked.
And it's weird. People don't look at Lou Holtz when they talk about great play callers in the history of the game. Lou is not somebody that comes up. But Lou ran his own offense at Notre Dame. I mean, it was just a different era. I mean, people want to know why Rick Meyer and Ron Paulus weren't exactly set the world on fire. Kind of, they didn't live up to their recruiting hype. It's because Lou wasn't going to fast. He didn't like to throw the ball. He was a downhill veer, kind of a lot of veer principles and things like that. Well, when you have Jerome Bettis and Brooks. Yeah. And Tony Rice and those guys like that. I mean, you're going to be able to kill people with that back in that time.
Yeah.
But they, and then Rocket this way, put Rocket on a reverse.
Don't forget bubble. Tim Brown, Heisman winner and NFL Hall of Famer. I mean, Tim Brown, you had that weapon, and they didn't really utilize him the way they could have.
Well, he had some Paul Johnson in him to where.
No doubt.
He would run, and then he'd have that one dude.
Right.
Boom. That was Troy Williams. The last year, you want to see vintage Lou Holtz offense, which I don't recommend that to anybody. His last year, that one dude was Troy Williamson.
Oh, yeah.
He threw it out. It was just Dodger. I just throw it up to Troy.
Pride of Silver Bluff.
But, so, you know, those days were something else. Most of our guests here, a lot of our guests, like John Strickland, played during that time. Preston Thorne, who I'm on 107.5 The Game with every Monday with Bill Gunner. He played during that time. So we ended up talking about that. I mean, I was in college there at the time, met my first wife the day South Carolina broke the 21-game losing streak against New Mexico State in Holtz's second year. On top of that, like Billy points out in the chat box, Skip Holtz is one of the most underrated coaches out there. I agree. When Louisiana Tech let him go, I think that was just one of those things where, you've been here 10 years, we want to do something else.
That's it. That's it. And they got a lot of money there. It's not quite oil money, but like they do have a lot of money. I remember doing a game there. We ate dinner at the AD's house, invited us there. By the way, the women's basketball coach at that time was Pat Summitt's son. You want to talk about a guy that woke up on third base?
Yeah,
he had the keys to that car, and you're thinking, I mean, he looked exactly like Pat Summitt too. It's crazy. I'm talking to this guy. He's like 25 or something. This kid's already got the job, and you're like, he has got a gravy train to like be the next great thing in women's basketball. And then he winds up sleeping with one of his players. Not a good move. And that was the end of his career, as far as I know. Anyway, they got a ton of money out there, and they felt like, hey, we should be like SMU. We should be moving up in the ranks, and they didn't. So they fired Skip. Skip's bounced around. But, yeah, Skip. And a lot of people remember, I mean, that the plan was for Lou to walk off into the sunset and Skip would take over. So with Lou kind of showing his rear end and throwing his son under the bus when it was really his offense that screwed everything up, that derailed Skip in a lot of ways. I mean, you want to talk about some awkward Thanksgiving dinners. Hey, Dad, thanks for throwing me under the bus and train wrecking my career. I could have had an SEC job at South Carolina and probably done some good things there. But obviously, when you get Steve Spurrier, nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, you know, got to go hire Steve Spurrier.
Of course, of course.
I'll say this, too. It was so Skip. He coached the USFL, coached the Birmingham Stallions, USFL the last 2 years. And of course it's called the UFL this year because they merged with the XFL. My man is 23-3. They won the first two USFL championships, and they're 6-0 this year. So
there we go.
He's still out there kicking tail and winning, and
good for
it's
him.
Probably a lot less headache than maybe college was. I mean, he did have a bottom fallout kind of year at Louisiana Tech in 2021, 3-9. But you have to think this, though, Mike. Louisiana Tech, and we always talk about the pecking order. In the state of Louisiana, they're ahead of Monroe and McNeese and those places, but they're behind Tulane, LSU, and Lafayette. I mean,
by a far ways.
By a good margin.
And if you ever go to Ruston, JC, and I recommend that you do. They got a nice golf course there. But you will appreciate what being in the middle of nowhere truly means.
Wow. Kim Mulkey got her. You know, that's where Kim Mulkey starred.
When the Lady Texters, that was one of the few programs that actually put money into women's basketball, and they had great success.
They were very good.
But, yeah, it is out there in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, and for those that missed our interview yesterday, with Perry Orth talking about the high times of Spurrier and the downfall. I make the analogy with Lou and Steve. They're both similar in one respect. When you hire, and this was Mike McGee's thing, right? Big game hunting. We're looking for big names. I'm not going young coach again. That didn't work well with Brad Scott, so I'm going big game. You win the press conference. And Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier are too good to not have some success. Now, it took a little longer for Steve, and it was a shorter run for Lou. But they both had high points in Carolina football history. But when you hire that legend who's clearly at the end of the rope, it never ends well. And it didn't end well for Lou, and it didn't end well for Steve. And that analogy can be applicable to other schools. If you just go that route, it is a short term deal. It's not going to be like a decade plus of success, and it's not going to be a great handoff to the next guy. There's rare exceptions, but typically it doesn't work that way.
I'm trying to think what would the equivalent be now that we've seen Mack Brown. Mack Brown's a return.
Mack Brown's a return,
same kind of deal.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of wonder if they're getting a little tired of his act over there. And Mac is one of the nicest. I'm a big Mack Brown fan. I've had a chance to cover some of his games. But it, you just had the number three pick in the draft at starting quarterback for 2 years, and you didn't do a whole lot with it. What do you think Tar Heel football is going to look like the next few years under Mac, with Florida State back and with Clemson, and maybe Miami gets their blank together, and I don't know, Virginia becomes relevant again, and Vatek. I have a feeling when it's all said and done, the Mac Brown era, it's not going to end on a high note. He's not going to be holding a trophy up and saying, this is the way I want to walk out.
They collapse just about every year. They got to a good start, and then by the end, it's ugly. You're talking, gosh, his record against NC State's and Dave Dorn's like next to terrible. Their best year is probably the pandemic year, kind of like Jimbo Fisher. And I it's crazy. He continues to recruit very, very well. You know, if he is retiring soon, a lot of the top players in North Carolina are hearing it. So it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting to see what may happen with that moving forward. But yeah, I can't think of another like living legend type of hire, because there haven't been a whole lot that have gone to the pros. I mean, I guess Chip Kelly to UCLA would have been kind of that.
And obviously that
didn't work out too well either. Bobby Petrino went back to Louisville, and that ended badly. But I can't think of anything along the lines of like Steve Spurrier, like Butch Davis took North Carolina back in the day. That was a similar kind of like, oh my God, here we go now kind of hire. And that didn't happen a whole lot around college football.
No, it doesn't. You know, the Bobby.
We get to see it in real time this year, though, down in Tuscaloosa. So here we are. I mean, the greatest has retired, and now they've put in the hottest name. I think
they hired the hot name
the last season. Yeah, yeah,
but not a legend. I mean, Kalen DeBoer has my respect, and I think it's a good hire. But that's not hiring Lou Holtz, Steve Spurrier, Mac Brown.
Saying what it looks like at the end after the legend leaves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
We're getting to see now the sample size gets a little bit larger with, what's happening down there. It'll be interesting to see how that transition goes.
Oh, it'd be fascinating.
I tell everybody this, though. Nick Saban leaves a program in a lot different shape than most of your coaches. I mean, based on what he did at LSU in 5 years, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron had the ammo to win two national championships. And he leaves it in pristine condition. So we'll see. But I was going to say, they didn't have the transfer portal and stuff, to worry about during some of these times. So that may have made things a little different, as far as, what the deal is. So anyway, I know we got to get a break. We're going to get a break. Got to break in. And we got more to talk about later. We're going to drive around the SEC. We're going to talk a little bit about a little baseball kind of scenario things, like we were talking about earlier, about your matchups in the Super. Does it even matter? How many upsets has Mike seen through the years? Maybe go back, revisit that UC Santa Barbara Louisville series that he called, and some other things like that.
But that we will
definitely be back after these messages on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to Cody. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
We'll be right back.
right, welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Here we are from the Cinerama Studios live. Love this virtual Cinerama Studios because we get to be everywhere. Still coming from me in Studio North in Chicago. JC, Mike, I think, is down in Florida, although, you know, we'll keep that a secret if that's not where we're supposed to be. No,
I am.
Of course, I'm up here in the upstate.
I'm allowed to be wherever.
I was
wherever.
Just checking into the Big Spur. Yeah.
No, I think the palm trees and JC and Morgan.
I just didn't know if you wanted to. Yeah. We don't have the outdoor setting that we did in the previous hour. Yeah, that's what I kind of figured. But no, Alex Jones put an article on the Big Spur today. Yeah,
you got me.
The default background. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it defaulted back to remember the Titans. Am I coming in late, or are you not hearing me live? I feel like
It's probably me, actually, Mike. I don't know. I sometimes I get a little laggy.
JC, are you hearing me okay?
Yeah. All good with me.
Okay. All right. I felt a little weird. Yeah, I got to remember the Titans in the background.
I love it. I wanted to say, too, that we Gamecock pastor who listens to us, his name's Rob, each and every day, he said Zesto's is closing. In somewhere in Chapin.
No, really?
In Chapin. Now, not the
Chapin
location. The Chapin location.
Okay.
Yeah, not the main one. So, but he said that's an ominous sign. He tweeted at us yesterday, like after the show was over. He only caught part of it. So.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we were talking about, we threw it out there. The restaurant that you loved that closed and broke your heart. We had a number of great nominees from the state of South Carolina, all over the place, Columbia, Greenville, Florence, Charleston, all the other goodies in that one. Zesto's did not get mentioned, but that would suck. That's an institution.
Zesto's kind of
in South Carolina.
Now, I'll admit, I haven't eaten there as much as some may think I have. You know, it hasn't been like on my top list. It's not that I don't like it. I never get out to that part of Columbia when I'm around, and when I live there, I didn't either. But I've heard there's people that swear by it. So the fact that one of the locations is closing has to be a little bit unnerving for someone.
It's tough, man. It's tough to make money as a restaurant these days.
Yeah,
really tough.
No doubt on that. So you were looking at the Big Spur.
Well, I was saying, but before that, we had a submission on the Big Spur. Not the Big Spur, but in the mailbag for InsideTheGamecocks@gmail.com, if you'd like to reach us that way, from Cobalt up here in the upstate, who said John Paul's Armadillo Oil Company is one here in Greenville. It was a Greenville staple for years and is no longer there. Some of the best ribs in town. So
we used to eat there. When I was married, used to eat there all the time. So. Married to it. My ex-in-laws, they were probably sad because I was out of town by the time I knew that it closed. Really good steak, and really the ribs were awesome. You get a little baked potato action.
Yeah, man.
Get a little salad action. Sure.
But no, yeah. Big Spur, Alex Jones, happens to agree with you, Coach Mike, on your starting five. I just happened to notice from yesterday, moving into the new basketball season, Thomas, Scott, Davis, Murray Boyles, and Pringle are who he projects as also the starting five. So, great minds.
Good man. Great minds think alike on that. I was also yesterday's show. I threw out my bench with the news of Noah literally coming when we were live on the air. I understand Tennessee's also trying to grab him, from what I'm told. I don't think they'd win a battle with Kentucky, but that is a Rick Barnes kind of player if there ever was one, and he's trying to. Of course, they're going to lose Dalton Connect. He'll probably be a lottery pick, but SEC Player of the Year and an All-American. But, yeah, they're going after Noah as well. But a kid that grew up in Kentucky, the only reason he didn't sign with Kentucky is Cal didn't offer him. Cal only offers kids he thinks are lottery picks, apparently. And that came down. But, again, I didn't have Noah starting in the starting five regardless. He would have been an off-the-bench guy, and I think Scott is really more SEC-ready as a 6'6 athletic two guard that can come right in, and he's going to have to, quite frankly. I think Studi is more of a bench guy and go. But I do love the versatility of this new lineup and rotation that Lamont's going to have. I think it's going to be more than competitive.
And they're kind of looking at filling the spot. There's a guy that there's a guy that's coming in. They're going to kind of take a look at. I think from Fort Union, somewhere in Virginia, 6'11", 220, can shoot from outside. Young guy. Maybe a prep school guy. I don't know exactly. He's not from the portal. Replace that Trent Noah with a big that could potentially help you down the road. That's a big athlete like that. That's not that bad at all. I think you're right about Cam Scott. There's some people I think maybe think of it a little more like football, where you ease your freshman in at all costs. I think in basketball, if a guy's ready, he goes. And Colin Murray Boyles, for example, would have started from the get go had he not had Bono. I mean, and they were very honest. He is our best player.
Yeah.
I mean, which sounded weird because you're sitting there mid-season. The team's 14-1 or whatever. He hadn't played a whole lot. And you're like,
right.
Oh, your best player. And he eased his way back in. And then, boy, about mid-January, he started getting it going. You're like, oh, I see what they saw. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, he's good.
Yeah.
And so you kind of ease it in like that. But, in Tennessee, too. Now, if you're Carolina, it's gonna really hurt if he goes with Barnes in Tennessee. I mean, that's a different level of hurt.
I agree.
To recruit than a kid staying home. But I'll say this again: Mike and I have driven this path home to our loved ones many times. My trip is about 6 hours north of where Mike is, where Mike stops. But up 75. Knoxville's right there, and then you go through I don't want to confuse people with Sevierville, but I call it Sevier East Tennessee. it's like cramming, you go through the town of Rocky Top to get there, no doubt. And then you wind your way up through the hills of Kentucky, and you're in coal country and Sevier Eastern Kentucky. And that's where Mike talked about all those fans that save up their money to go to one game at Rupp a year, that live and breathe. And you see in the driveway, there's basketball hoop in every driveway, whatever. Absolutely crazy about that sport. And that's where this kid's from. So if something crazy happens and maybe Pope screws it up, maybe Kentucky doesn't want him. I can't imagine that. I think it's very risky for Kentucky to let him leave. And especially if he goes to Tennessee now. But keep in mind, Tennessee's right there too. Close to home, and as someone that's made the drive from good old Columbia to good old Chicago and gone right through there, that drive's a bear. It's a beast, man. That's usually where I stop on the way back, Richmond, Kentucky, where the Buckeyes is. I'm exhausted. It doesn't matter what time I leave.
How many five-hour
energies I've had, I'm out by the time I get there. Going down, it's Knoxville. But
a nervous flyer? Is that?
Well, sometimes I have to bring my I do my computer on the I do the show on the desktop, an iMac, which you can't take through.
Okay.
Security, okay. And then sometimes I have other stuff like enough stuff with me for events or maybe some cash that for an event that I have to do where you don't want to go through the airport with it.
I got you.
But I've the last two times United has a pretty sweet flight straight from O'Hare into CAE, which is a beautiful airport with no security. That's awesome.
It's one way to describe it.
But it's a great flight on a semi-new airplane, and it's done me well the last two times. But the driving part of it is just a matter of all the stuff I have with me to take, and it's not as bad. You got to kind of schedule it out, right? You got to make sure. And when I tell myself going down, okay, I'm stopping in Sevierville, that Gatlinburg exit at the Buc-ee's there, or when I'm coming back and I'm like, I'm stopping at the Buc-ee's in Richmond, or when I go through Nashville, I stop at the Buc-ee's in Calhoun, Georgia, 75. If I can get the Buc-ee's, I'm fine. But other than that, you know, sometimes it gets a little ridiculous. But
understood.
Understood. Yeah. And Sonder, I used to never fly United either. I'm a Southwest guy, but they have a big operation in Midway, and they go into GSP and Charleston. And I could easily, or Charlotte, I could easily do that. I've just been a little iffy about them lately. I don't know. So we'll see sort of what happens. All right. Time for another break, Phil. Phil.
Yeah, let's hit another break here. That's right.
Yeah, another break.
Maybe Craig says me.
Hey, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Got a little Taylor Swift going today, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's right.
I think it's been a long day.
Well, let's hit a break and, we can close it out.
Here's a break. We'll get back on track.
Already.
Yeah. We'll go splash some cold water on my face. A rebound going here.
That's right.
We'll second wind. Wake everybody second wind up. Action coming your way.
Grab some.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another. With a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it. Get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today rescuesandresin.com and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chiefs Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chiefs Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Everybody, Inside the Gamecocks, the show, final segment of the second hour today. Looking at the schedule for baseball after the run rule win last night in Rock Hill, Carolina only drops one midweek game all season. Not bad. Sits at 13 in the RPI right now with a 33-15 record, 9-7 on the road, 2-1 in neutral sites. Is there enough juice in the back end of this schedule with these next two series upcoming to push Carolina into a top eight national seed without running the table and going 6-0?
I think 5-1.
Well, yeah, 5-1, and maybe we'd do a little damage in Hoover, which has kind of been Carolina's kryptonite. Look, I'll stay with this. I think realistically, you're looking at hosting a regional, and you're looking at going on the road in a super. I will say this, and we'll talk about this in the Love Chevy drive around the SEC, that one of the latest bracket projections is out, and this particular one has Carolina as the 12 overall. Like, I think that's pretty realistic. You know, let's just say you take 2 out of 3 at home against Georgia. You lose 2 out of 3 on the road against Tennessee. You win a game in Hoover. I mean, I still think you're looking at the same. You're hosting a regional. You're on the road for a super. This particular one has Carolina as the 12, number 2 NC State as the 2. That would be redundant. The 3 seed UCF and the 4th seed Columbia. Do they allow sports there? Are they too busy protesting things they know nothing about?
They canceled graduation.
I was going to say, do they have to check with some of the movements on campus if they're allowed to play baseball? I don't know. But they have Columbia, I guess, as the Ivy League champion, participating in that. But I mean, there's other ones too. That one's actually from Baseball America. D1 has one out. Carolina's right around the same spot. That's just, you would have to, and again, the reason why it's so hard to predict, because you can't just think about what you have to do. You have to think about the other teams that are already there. So if you're thinking you're going to get a top eight, or are you going to leapfrog Texas A&M or Tennessee or Arkansas?
Georgia really is the linchpin there. I mean, because they sit ahead of you in the RPI, and even though their record is not necessarily, I guess, the best compared to some of the ones above them in quad ones, then I don't know. But you did beat North Carolina in the season. Tennessee, if you win the series, might slip in.
I didn't mean to be confusing. Phil, I didn't mean to. I might have been unclear on that. When I said leapfrog, I didn't mean in the SEC standings. I meant in the top 8 seed standings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're saying Carolina is going to get into that group, then some of those teams ahead of you now have got to fall. It can't just be like, well, we went 4-2, so now we should be in the top. Well, did the teams ahead of you, did they fall flat on their face, or did they not? And if they didn't, you're not going to leapfrog all those teams and get in the top eight. So, I mean, I still think realistically, host a regional and win the damn regional at home. And then be prepared to do what teams do all the time. I gave Whittle that assignment on Monday. I don't know if he posted anything about it, but if you look past over the last 5 years or so, super regional teams that have won on the road, there have been years where half the teams that won and advanced to Omaha did so away from home. Just because you're on the road doesn't mean you're like a 10-1 underdog. That's no. If you're a good team playing good baseball, home field advantage, I'm not gonna say it doesn't matter, but you could still get there. Teams do it every year. Never has there been a year where all eight home teams have won. And there hasn't been, the number one overall seed hasn't won the national championship since 1999 Miami, which is ridiculous, right. But that's true. Yeah. find me another sport where that's happened, where you go 25 years where the number one team didn't wind up bringing home the trophy. It's baseball. It's just different. So I wouldn't get too obsessed about hosting a super. I'd be more concerned about just playing your best baseball going into the postseason.
Yeah, and I'm of a like mind with JC, too. I think who you match up with in the supers is a bit more important than perhaps maybe hosting one. Because I'm like him. I just you don't want to go anywhere in the SEC to play one of those things.
Yeah, and you want a team. And we see this all the time. Like a mid-major does really well, and they get the host, and then they get blown up by a number two seed from the SEC on the road. The number two seed from the SEC is not going to be intimidated by the crowd at Louisiana Lafayette. They're just not. So, sorry, it's always a sensitive subject to bring the Raging Cajuns up. I still get goosebumps, unfortunately, when I hear that and flashbacks and PTSD, but it's been 24 years. You'd think I'd get over it by now. But yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right, Phil. What's more important than the venue is the matchup and the opponent. And of course, that's first, you got to take care of business and win the regional. And I think that would be a major, major thing to do for Gamecock baseball with this team, which is certainly good enough to do it.
South Carolina has won one super regional away from Columbia, zero outside of the state of South Carolina.
That's right. Now, so, most of the times they hosted. But you're right. I mean, I was there for many of those. You know, 06 Georgia, game three, that team didn't have the pitching. 07 Tar Heels, who would have predicted a guy like Reese Havens makes, three errors, all of a sudden gets the yips at shortstop. I mean, he was a much better player than that. 01 at Stanford, Yeah, I mean, sometimes that wasn't because the series was on the road. I could make the argument in those cases, those teams that Carolina lost to were simply better. They were just simply better.
Yeah. You know? There's no question. So. And look, streaks like that in baseball are meant to be broken.
Absolutely.
What goes around comes around. So, in history in other sports kind of makes me more nervous that I'd almost go anti-history in baseball.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Sooner or later, something will, pop your way.
No doubt. Hey, I'm looking forward to bringing another Love Chevy drive around the SEC on the other side of this timeout. It is the Power Hour presented by Gary Patterson of State Farm and Ryan Brewer of Ryan Brewer Fence. He's JC. I'm Mike, Mad Dog Phil, behind the proverbial glass, and we'll be back with the third hour of ITG in just a moment.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock. Owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. But he originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of it. Heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network,